And the quality of the monastery was one of great dignity, in a very natural and organic way. I guess I'll talk about the qualities of his teaching, which I have in the past, in this way. And there were a number of qualities. The first was this quality of dignity and the surrender that was asked in it. The forest paths were swept beautifully, and there was some sense when you entered that it was really a sanctuary, a sacred place. Not because of great big fancy buildings and temples and cathedrals, but by the way that things were cared for, like a Zen monastery would be. And a bit of a living library, if you will, because I remember I had friends who were also working in Laos and in the areas of Thailand where there was a lot of fighting, and in Vietnam, and they came to visit us in the monastery. Ajahn Sumedho was there as well. And they were very critical. Well, like, what are you doing sitting here when there's a war going on? And at night you could see it, the planes would fly overhead, the bombers would be going over the monastery, and you could see the flashes of light. We were close enough to the border of Laos, or, you know, we weren't that far really from Cambodia either, and you could see and know that the war was going on. And they'd say, here you are sitting on your asses, basically, when something needs to be done. And they were, as I had served on medical teams in that part of Thailand, in the Mekong River Valley, and they were right in the middle of the war area doing work with the Quakers and things like that. But they came because they were exhausted and burnt out and suffering a lot. And at first they complained a lot. But by the time this group left, they were there for a week or 10 days, they had realized that Wat Pho Phong was an ocean or an island, really, of sanity in a sea of madness around, which if anybody's been to a place, lived through a war, people go really crazy, and they tear down their own temples and sell them to get money, and they do horrible things. And it's very frightening. Even ordinary people do things they would never imagine they might get caught in doing. And here was a place where you could lose your valuables and someone just pick it up and save it for you, and where people treated one another with discipline and respect, and where virtue was the way that human beings acted. And it's as if no matter what was happening in the world around, because wars will come and go as birth and death comes and goes, this was a place that was timeless, that said there is a reality, there is a truth, independent of all the conditions that we find ourselves caught in the world. And so that quality of dignity was there, but with it was the surrender. You know, you'd walk. And if you were a young monk, you were expected to walk pretty far for your alms food. You'd walk 5 or 10 miles each way, you know, to get your bowl of food, or you'd sit for hours at night on the stone floor. And I remember when I first came, because I'm kind of stiff and not terribly flexible, and I wasn't even then, and we get these little tiny square sitting cloths to sit on the floor. And it's a stone floor. There's no, you know, zafus and chairs and all this kind of stuff. And it was really painful to sit and meditate. My knees were up about like that. And so we'd go in for evening chanting. You'd chant for a long time and you'd sit. And it would gradually get dark. We'd chant. And then as it got dark, I'd see everybody close their eyes, and I was so uncomfortable. I'd go in a little early and I'd sit next to this big stone pillar so that as soon as their eyes were closed, I could kind of lean on it, because it was so painful, you know. And after I'd been there a couple of weeks, Ajahn Chah would give these Dharma talks, and it was the night for the Dharma talk. We'd all chanted, and then we'd been sitting, and then he came in, joined us for the sitting for a while, and started talk about whatever he was talking about. And he said to really practice means to become independent of the conditions that change in life, to not need to, and then he turned to me, to not need to lean on things. And there was care with everything, the way you would sweep the paths, the way you'd make a bamboo broom and keep the paths of the forest clean, and the way the building was done, and the way you learned to bow to things. And as he said, at one point, everything that you do in your life at this monastery is a chance to awaken. It's a chance to practice, to be free. It's all the Dharma. When you do your chores, be mindful. If you're emptying the spittoons and the, you know, garbage or cleaning the toilet, don't feel like you're doing it as a favor for someone else. There's Dharma in emptying spittoons and cleaning the toilet. That's the place to practice. Don't feel that you're practicing only when you're sitting still, cross-legged. Some of you complain there isn't enough time to meditate. Is there enough time to breathe? This is your meditation, mindfulness, naturalness, and whatever you do.